welcome you back to another episode of Inside Boxing Live. I am Dan Canobio. He is the former world champion of the world with the wonderful hair. Both of us rocking some great hair on this Canelo Munguia fight week. We'll tap in to how we feel about that fight that is sneaking up on us. Virgil Ortiz with a big knockout win. Looks like he's fighting Tim Zhu on one of the best cards ever created by man. And we'll also get into this Spence Derek James divorce. That sucks. But it's part of the sport. Chris, how are you? How you doing?
I'm doing well. Obviously, I got my shades on, so I'm outside enjoying the South Florida weather, which has been absolutely perfect. I mean, what would we have a show if we didn't open up with the weather?
Well, it's what we do talk about. I just got back from Orlando. I was on the call for Most Valuable Prospects 6, which was an awesome card highlighted by Yoenis Tellis. Picking up a win, the co-main event was a banger. Did get some color. Look, you see it?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You look a little laid right out by the pool for 3 hours, put on SPF
three hours. Wow.
On 3 hours on Thursday, not on Friday, because I don't want to get red for the show. 3 hours
SPF.
On
SPF. What is that?
It's something you put on to protect so you don't get cancer on the face.
I don't do that.
So you don't look wrinkly by the time you're 50.
I don't do that.
Okay. All right. Good. Also, this show is powered by PPV.com. Order Canelo Munguia on PPV.com. We will be out in Las Vegas. We're heading out there at the end of the week. We'll be in the live chat. It's one of the coolest features of PPV.com. Me, Jim Lampley, Chris Algieri, Lance Pugmire. It's a great time in there. Chris is so active in that chat. He's giving his insights. Jim Lampley is shouting out things. I'm giving my thoughts as well. So order the fight with PPV.com. And no subscriptions. You can stream it to all your devices. You can have a grand old fight party with PPV.com. I think it's becoming the best way to order pay-per-views. I think it's the easiest way to order pay-per-views. It's coming tougher and tougher to figure out where are these fights streaming. How can I do it? If you get the PPV app, it will just give you the fight right there. We're not asking for logins. Not asking you. We will ask you for a login. But not asking you for year-long subscriptions and all that. But get this, Chris. You know how we give away pay-per-views every single fight week, like 10?
We care about our fans. We do.
Right. We give away 10 last time.
Wow.
In addition, they're very generous people at PPV.com. The dinners that we have in Vegas are absurd. But for this fight week, we came up with something different and something awesome. We are still giving away a lot of pay-per-views.
I'm listening. I'm tuned in.
We are still giving away a ton of pay-per-views, but in addition to that, we are giving away 2 signed Canelo Alvarez gloves. And what you got to do is order the pay-per-view early. From now and between Thursday at midnight, you automatically enter a sweepstakes to win a Canelo Alvarez signed glove.
Wait, can we be in this sweepstakes? Because I wouldn't mind a signed glove. That's pretty cool.
I know. It's so cool. You got a whole bunch of them, and we're giving them away. We're trying to think of a cool way. So you order the pay-per-view early. You get your pay-per-view locked in. You find yourself in a sweepstakes, and you could potentially end up with a Canelo signed glove, which is valued at around $1,000. That's a lot of money, my friends. So let's get into it. Well, before we get to Canelo Munguia, we'll talk a little bit about what we saw this past weekend. Wasn't a huge weekend of fights, but the Virgil Ortiz Thomas Delorme fight, which was a walkover on paper and which was a walkover inside of the ring, because Virgil Ortiz got him out there inside of one round. What a body shot! But there was added juice to this fight because Virgil Ortiz is scheduled to fight Tim Zhu. And as long as Virgil came out a winner, which he did, and as long as he came
and
out
unscathed.
Right. And unscathed, took the words right out of my mouth, which he did. Now, August 3rd, we're getting probably one of the most anticipated fights of the year in terms of buzz, in terms of like fans thinking like fights like these cannot be made. 50-50 fight between 2 young guys at 154, Virgil Ortiz and Tim Zhu. Just to backtrack a little bit, I wasn't shocked at that body shot. I thought maybe he'd get some rounds in because he hasn't fought too much over the last year or two because of some health issues. But, man, you don't get paid overtime in boxing. A vicious body shot takes out Thomas Delorme. 21-0, 21 knockouts for Virgil Ortiz, and now he gets Tim Zhu.
Yeah, I mean, I've been high on Virgil for a long time. My friend Robert Garcia has been telling me about him and his work in the gym for a long time. I've talked to his team. And, you know, the kid's a super talent. And listen, when it comes down to it, he does what he needs to do. But Tim Zhu, man, he's another guy that I'm really high on. And this is one of those matchups that reminds me of the 80s where guys literally had to fight each other. Like, we're not, you know, we mentioned in the last show, we're entering a new era where guys are not holding on to their O's anymore. And I think it's so good for the health of the sport. It's good for guys like us. We have tons to talk about. Big fan of Virgil Ortiz. Big fan of Tim Tszyu. Tim is an ever-improving fighter. Virgil's a monster, but he got delayed a bit, right? Because of his health issues that he had. You know, he spent 2 years where he was spotty in terms of his activity. But whenever he showed up, he did his job. So you can't knock him for that. But he doesn't have that same momentum he had, you know, 18 months ago, 2 years ago. And Tim just got 12 rounds in a war where he really showed his heart. And you could tell that he's still hungry and was hungry even after the fight, immediately after. So this is a really interesting matchup in terms of not only the talent involved being Virgil Ortiz and Tim Tszyu, but also their momentums and where they are at in their careers. I mean, very surprising fight. Dangerous for both guys. As close to a 50-50 matchup as you can get. It's really tough to call anybody. We're not making any predictions yet. We got a lot of time until this fight. We have a lot of studying to do. We have a lot of talking to do. But either way, I am all for this. This is awesome. And I don't think either man should be knocked if they take a loss in a good fight here, because they're both taking huge risks against another potential budding star.
Yeah, we're seeing a changing of the guard. We're seeing a changing of the guard in boxing. This August 3rd card is doing that. Ryan Garcia with Devin Haney, a little bit of a movement going back to last year, Ryan Garcia and Tank Davis. But this is a fight that fight fans just don't think can be made, because it's a 50-50 fight. It's you two young guys, Tszyu coming off of a loss, Virgil Ortiz coming off of like all the things you just said, with those health problems. But as we know, at 154, these are arguably two top five guys at the weight class. Before that loss, Tim Tszyu was number one in the division. You can make a case that he's still at the top. It doesn't matter about that. But I just also like the way that they're going about it. Remember when Virgil Ortiz knocked out, who did he knock out earlier in the year? He had his win in January. And he said afterwards, hey, Tim Tszyu, I would love a fight with you, man. Didn't trash talk, didn't curse, didn't call him any names. Tim Tszyu responds on Twitter in a very nice way.
Frederick Lawson.
Right, Frederick Lawson. Tim Tszyu responds on Twitter in a very respectful way. And even last night, they're going back and forth respectfully. But you don't have to have – I don't know, every fight has to have that Ryan Garcia, Devin Haney buildup. But it doesn't have to have that, because this is a real 50-50 fight. And I'm like really trying to think about how it's going to play out. Like, I don't want to think too far ahead because it's so far down the line. But a lot of these guys, they fight the same way. They got that high guard. They both throw with mean intentions. Tszyu, I feel like, is a little more polished, and he's just a little more active and has a little more momentum than Virgil Ortiz. But then again, he's coming off of that bloody, bloody fight. You know, yeah, he lost that fight. He also lost a lot of blood. I'm not saying he's not going to recover, but I feel like, you know, it takes something out of you. A little PTSD, like you talked about last week with fighters. I'm kind of shocked that Zoo's going to bounce back so quick. I'm not shocked that they made this fight, because Saudi is so involved with it. But I just love it. I think the fight fans are so charged up for this fight. They believe it should be the main event. All those reasons that I just listed, I think this is one of the most anticipated fights of the year, because it's not like a home run like type of marketing fight, but for the hardcores, this is like a Super Bowl.
No, you couldn't get a better fight for the hardcores. I'm going to disagree with you on your point about Tim Tszyu in terms of PTSD and like coming off that hard. I think he's even more hungry.
Okay.
To use, you know, kind of the obvious on the nose, he has a bloodlust now. You know, he bled through that last 12-round fight. He showed he has the heart of a champion. He came up short, and I'm sure he doesn't think so. A lot of people don't think he did. A lot of people think it was blame the circumstance. I don't think he blames anything. He just goes, I need to get back. I need to get back to where I was. I lost ground. I want to get it back. Just like a fighter should. Just like a future of a champion should. I really respect that about him. And in terms of Virgil, when Mannix asked him, what do you have to say to Tim Tszyu? And he was like, nothing. I said what I said. He knows how I feel. It is what it is. I'll see. You know, I got nothing to say. That was so endearing. Like that, he's such a likable guy, and he doesn't have to act like a badass because he is a badass. He's just a bad dude. He's coming to fuck you up. Like that's what he does. Cool. He doesn't have to talk about it. He just is about it. So, I mean, both of them. Yeah. To that point, I think they're both great on the mic. They're underrated, and not underrated, but like they're under the radar in terms of their trash talk because they don't really have to. But listen, sometimes saying less is saying more. And I think both of them take a page out of that book.
Yeah, Virgil Ortiz afterwards said, I don't care if it's the right time or not. I want to fight the best in the world. That's the right mentality. Yeah. That's the 2024 movement that we're in. Devin Haney suffers a loss. He's back out running in the streets of Vegas, runs into Oscar De La Hoya. He wants a rematch. Anyone out there that doesn't want to see Devin Haney fight again and doesn't think he can bounce back, you're wrong. And you're just buying into the narratives that we've been fed as boxing fans for years before that. Someone has to lose this fight outside of them fighting in a draw. Fine. Virgil Ortiz will bounce back. Tim Tszyu will bounce back. He already lost Tim Tszyu. Doesn't matter. We're getting these outstanding fights and we're getting these outstanding cards. And now the full card is now set. They had a New York City press conference for this August 3rd Rite of Season card in association with Eddie Hearn. We're going to be out there in Los Angeles on August 3rd. It's going to be a wild scene.
Oh, we are going to be out there.
Oh yeah. We got the word. It's going to be carried.
I was telling people, we're trying to be out there. We're going to get out there, but we don't know yet.
I don't want to get too far ahead, but it's looking pretty good that it's going to be carried on PPV.com. But main event is Terrence Crawford versus Israel Madrimov. That's kind of getting overlooked because of the Tszyu Ortiz fight. But it's
not by me.
Right. It's Terrence Crawford going up to 154 and looking for a world title in another division. It's for two belts, and that's going to set up some big fights for Crawford down the line. Tszyu Ortiz as the co-main event. Pitbull Cruz versus Jose Valenzuela. Unbelievable fight, considering Cruz just won the title at 140 and can easily take a soft touch, can easily wait till December, can wait for Gervonta Davis. He's not. He's fighting Jose Valenzuela. Andy Ruiz versus Jarrell Miller. We've always got to have a sloppy heavyweight fight on these cards. David Morrell versus Hot Rod, who you just watched on Pro Box.
I've known Hot Rod for years.
Right, and Andy Cruz is on the card versus Antonio Moran. I mean, this is one of the best cards of the last 10 years.
That's an underrated fight right there. The Andy Cruz and Antonio Moran. We've had Antonio Moran on our Pro Box TV. He's the winningest fighter on Pro Box TV history.
He's like Mickey Ward of Friday Night Fights.
Yes. Yeah. He's undefeated on Pro Box. He's beaten everybody. He won our last chance tournament. The guy can fight. He's just sub world like that. He's just sub that world elite. And Andy is, granted, he is phenomenal. Granted, he has the Olympics in his amateur background. But where does he rank amongst the world elite? And this is a really, really good test for that. And Antonio Moran always comes to fight. He looked fantastic on our air in his last fight. That's a very underrated fight as an opener, which is wild.
That's pretty cool. Just to show you, like, Pro Box has really filled the void for Showbox. It's filled the void for Friday Night Fights. To see fighters like Hot Rod, who have fought on Pro Box, to see a fighter like Antonio Moran, like you said, is the winningest fighter in Pro Box history, to graduate to these big cards, that shows like a healthy ecosystem to me in boxing. That's so important. But yeah, this card is the card, man. It popped up out of nowhere. Fight fans are really excited. August 3rd, we have something to look forward to at the end of the summer. I was getting a little worried because after Tank, there isn't much on the boxing schedule. Things will get on that boxing schedule, but you know, July looks a little bit light in outside of Tyson versus Jake Paul and some fights at the end of July. But once we get August 3rd going, this is the one everyone's circling. This is a monster card. This is get in your seats early at the arena, which is just not the case for boxing. It's order your pay-per-view and have everything ready. Have a fight party. Tell your friends about a type of card, which boxing so desperately needs. So I was really excited to see that roll out. Really excited to see Crawford back in there. I think that Madrimov fight is really tricky. And I also think if Crawford wins, which he should, it sets up for some big fights at 154. Boots can move up there. All of a sudden, Crawford has two belts. You can see Fundora. You can see some of the other names at 154, the Tszyu Virgil Ortiz winner. Now with Saudi playing with all the promoters, like nothing is out of bounds here. Like any fight can be made in boxing right now. And I don't think I've been able to say that since like the 80s when I wasn't doing podcasts. I was just a small boy.
Yeah, I think you nailed it on the head. Fights that were I was kind of not naive, but I was just like
no, you're whimsy. Like yeah, I was boxing fans were programmed to not, and not in a wrong way. Yeah, it's just the way that things were. We were expected not to get these cards. So I don't blame any fight fan.
That's my point, Dan. Like I'm not saying I was naive because obviously I've been in the sport and the business for a long time, but I was whimsical in the thought that, hey, we should make the best fights. Like I would like to see this guy fight that guy, even though they're across the street in terms of promotional contracts. And our buddy Paulie Malignaggi used to always remind me that that's not going to happen because this guy's with this guy and this guy's with that guy promotional wise. But like that all goes out the window now. And even when you have Golden Boy, Oscar De La Hoya, and Matchroom, Eddie Hearn, literally fighting on Twitter when that meant they would never have their guys fight each other. Now we can.
Yeah,
we can set up a 5-on-5 again.
Well, these 5-on-5s are great. Golden Boy's looking to do one with Top Rank.
Yeah, I mean, we should be doing this with all of them all the time.
Yeah,
it's gonna make the best fights. It's gonna the health, the eco. You mentioned a great word, ecosystem. Really well done there,
Dan. Thank you.
Fucking biology major over here. Mm-hmm. Ecosystem of the sport is thriving, and when you can set up things like that, when you have someone like Al Sheikh who can step in. He's a third party. I keep using the word altruistic, even though it's not a real thing. People don't just do things, you know, to be good. He's doing it because he wants to see the best fight. So it's really whatever. But right. So you got this benevolent third party coming in who wants to see the best fights. And he's willing to broker them between arguing factions that won't allow it. Ideal. It's ideal for fight fans.
It's awesome. If you look at that card, there's a lot of PBC fighters on it. Pitbull Cruz, PBC fighter Jose Valenzuela, Andy Ruiz, maybe. There's Matchroom fighters on it. There's Golden Boy fighters on it. That is how the fight game should be. No one cares about these promotional divides. There's these nerds on Twitter that are so tribal, they ride with the PBC or they ride with Matchroom, and they act like one promotion has higher ground than the other when they're all practically the same. Every promotion does the same bad things, and there's not one that's better than the other. So when they all work together, we get these August 3rd cards, a celebration. We'll be there. We'll have a great time. Let's head over to some other news. This is not so great news. I wouldn't say shocking because we've seen this play out between fighter and trainer numerous times. It is a little surprising because Errol Spence and Derek James had such a bond. Started at the beginning of his career, first fight, Derek James was there, and James has now rose up to, you know, trainer of the year and has such a big stable because of all the success that he's had with Errol Spence. But Errol Spence and Derek James are suing each other over money, a tale as old as time in boxing. James was paid $350,000 for the Crawford fight. Derek James alleges that he's owed at least $2 million and no less than $5 million for Spence's other pay-per-view bouts. The problem with this, Chris, is that he doesn't have a written agreement, just a verbal agreement, a handshake agreement. Now, 10% is pretty standard, and you can attest to this. I'm glad we have a fighter like you on here. You've hired trainers. You've gotten rid of trainers. 10% is pretty standard, but I've heard of fighters capping it out as the purses get bigger. I think of Golovkin and who was his trainer?
Abel Sanchez.
Golovkin and Abel Sanchez. As Golovkin's purses were getting bigger and bigger, fighting Canelo, fighting these big-time fights. He was not as willing to give the 10%. They came up with a separate deal. Like they capped it out. And I think that's what Spence is trying to do to Derek James. But a messy situation, unfortunate situation. But Spence and James's their relationship is over. And I wanted to know your thoughts on this as a fighter that has worked with all sorts of trainers.
First and foremost, I'm going to kick the word standard out the window because – there is no standard in terms of paying.
But 10% usually is the case, right?
No, that's something people say, and like that's an idea that people have. There is nothing standard about paying any of your team. There's no standard when it comes to who gets paid what in boxing. Because if you think about that, then you're talking about promoters and their standard and we're getting this percent, that percent. But that's never the truth. Whatever is put out to the audience, to the world, to the papers is never the truth. The money that you get paid, the money that a fighter gets paid is never real, whatever's put out there, which is really unfortunate because it hurts fighters more often than not. But when it comes to trainers, the reason there's no standard is because there was a time when Derek trained Errol for free. And there was a time when Errol paid him 10%. And there was a time when Errol gets to a point, or any fighter X gets to a point where now we're not looking at $1 million fights, we're looking at $50 million fights. And 10% of $50 million is $5 million for a guy who's one guy who's actually going in the ring and punching the brain, and then, you know, the coach. 10% of $50 million, there has to be a negotiation point. And granted, I know we've been together for a very, very long time. There's a lot of sweat equity involved, but the problem. The reason that this is a problem is because there's a lack of communication. That is the end all be all. I'm not going to say that 10% is wrong. I'm not going to say that Errol's wrong or Derek is wrong. I'm going to say they're both wrong because there should have been communication involved. you get to a certain point in your career, things change, guys. Listen, when you make it to that top 1%, where you're talking about $10 plus million, when you're talking about $5 plus million, you're talking about $2.5 to $3 million, over those amounts, that's the point. That's the one. That's not even the 0.1%. That is the point.
Yeah.
0.01%.
Rarefied air. There's like five to 10 guys, if that, in the sport.
But even breaking a million consistently is really, really small percentage of people who've done that. Yeah. I've done that. A lot of our friends have done that. But things change at that point. Then you have to be communicating with your team.
Have you ever heard of a written agreement? Like, have you ever heard of a verbal agreement? Like, with you and your trainers, did you have something on paper? Did you have a handshake? Like,
so I was similar to Errol in the fact that I was with my trainer for so long, right? So we came up together, and for us, it was conversations. It was always like every fight's different, and if you are going to have a paper agreement, it's got to be per fight. Because it changes so much. Win or a loss, you're looking at $10 million swing sometimes.
Yeah.
Listen, if I had beaten Pacquiao, my next purse would have been five times as much. And then we're in a whole different stratosphere. So it's a really difficult thing. And this hurts me more that two people that were so close for so long aren't communicating properly. The fact that they're looking at lawyers, come on, guys. Talk to each other. Get this done. Figure out a deal. Now you got to negotiate. Now you got to negotiate on the back end, which is unfortunate.
Yeah,
you should have negotiated beforehand, which was more communication than negotiating, but it's still negotiating. But now you literally have to negotiate against.
I said $350,000 for the Crawford fight was more than generous. The thing with James, like now he's going back and wants like points on pay-per-views. He wants points on the Mikey Garcia pay-per-view, the Sean Porter pay-per-view. That's really hard when you don't have anything written down. I mean, that's tough. And I don't think that there's many of our listeners out there that care about the nitty-gritty of this. They do because it's a big name, and it's kind of surprising because they were so tight and they've been together since day one. But it just shows you, man, boxing's such a cutthroat sport. And Abel Sanchez and Golovkin, they were also together for the majority of their careers. They split up. Well, Dan, pretty much every trainer.
In this case, I don't think this is cutthroat because I think promoters are cutthroat. I think managers are cutthroat. I think trainers and fighters are ego-driven.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, everyone. It's ego. It's cutthroat. It's ego. It's all the above, I feel like. But we'll see how this plays out. Errol Spence needs a trainer now. He wants to get into the ring in maybe December and fight Fundora. He's going to be looking for a trainer. Ryan Garcia called out Errol Spence and said, hey, you want to sue my trainer, Derek James? Guess what? Now you got to fight me. Have you seen the Ryan Garcia victory tour, by the way?
I heard about it. He's been down here in Miami, from what I understand.
He was in Miami, and he was spotted with like four different girls, which I think is awesome. And he went to Colorado. I don't know how this link up happened. He's with Deion Sanders and the Colorado Buffalo football team for their spring game. And he performed his song on stage. Like, the Ryan Garcia victory tour is going crazy. The tweets haven't stopped. They hit a little different when you win, and they hit a little different, those tweets. But it's not as frantic as once before. But the Ryan Garcia victory tour is in full effect, and he wants a piece of Errol Spence, and Chris's dog wants a piece of his microphone right now.
Well, listen, man, he's in the driver's seat right now. I mean, King Ryan's on a throne. He can decide what he wants to do. Like, listen, you pull off the upset, you know, you're a 9-1 underdog, and then you come out on top and you do it in spectacular fashion. Hey, man, you're 25. Have fun with it.
That's what I mean. This is what
the sport. You got a ton of money. Do it.
This is what the sport is all about. This isn't some team sport where you have your victory parade and then you don't hear from them. This is why there's a fascination with the guy, because you can go in and say crazy stuff in the lead up. You can go in and pull off a massive upset. Then you can go out and party, and everyone will follow along on social media. TMZ picking up everything. It only builds up his brand and his name even more, and the reason why
he's but he's different, though, because that's how he got here as well. Like, he got here by doing that. He's not going to stop. Right.
Exactly. He better not stop, because it's fun to watch. Maybe he'll end up in Vegas with us this weekend, because that's where we're headed, and that's where we're going to talk about next. Canelo Alvarez, Jaime Munguia fight week is here. You can catch the fight on PPV.com. We will be in the live chat. The odds are -600 favorite for Canelo Alvarez. The over-under, 10.5 rounds. Canelo by KO, +175. Canelo by decision, -120. If Munguia is going to pull off the impossible and beat Canelo on the cards, you can get that for +800. All those odds are courtesy of DraftKings. So the fight's here. Obviously, a lot of the narrative is going to be, why aren't you fighting David Benavidez? David Benavidez is now up at 175. David Morrell is now up at 175. You can arguably make the case that Jaime Munguia is the best available option right now for Canelo Alvarez. I know that the comment section, I can just see it right now on YouTube. Oh, what are you talking about, Danny? Should be fighting Benavidez. I understand that. We've talked about it ad nauseum. I am in 100% agreement that Canelo should be fighting.
But we're tired of talking about that. So let's talk about what we have.
Right. So let's talk about what we have. This is the fight, and it's here. And
it's a good fight.
Let's start with Canelo. He's active again. He's back on that May, September, May schedule. This is he hadn't done that in a while before that. So now he's back into a somewhat active schedule of fighting two times a year, even though we want him to fight more than that. His last five fights, he beat Charlo last September.
We were there.
Yes, we were there. He beat John Ryder by unanimous decision. He had the Golovkin UD. He had the Bivol loss. He had the Plant KO. Now, the thing I want to ask you, Chris, with Canelo Alvarez, we're constantly talking about, you know, has he lost a step? Is he getting hit more? Is he not throwing as many punches? All that is correct. But in this fight, I feel like he's going to be pushed because Munguia throws. In the rounds is one of the first questions that I'm thinking of. Goes down the stretch against Kovalev, he outlanded him 32-10 in power and stopped him. Down the stretch against Callum Smith, he outlanded him 101-27 in the final four rounds. He stopped Caleb Plant late outside of the Bivol fight where he did not step on the gas pedal. I want to see if Canelo has it late against Munguia because I think this is going rounds.
I do too, but he might not have to. Pour it on late. He might have a performance similar to how he looked against John Ryder, where he came out dominant early on, dropped him, was able to get his respect, hurt him. And then John came back, but it wasn't enough. And Canelo had put in enough rounds in the bank, was still competitive enough late in the late rounds, still winning rounds. It could be that scenario. I could see that. I could see Canelo coming out and looking guns blazing great and countering well and hitting all those openings in Munguia's defensive lapses because he's so offensive. And then Munguia making a mistake by trying to save it for late, but just going into a deep hole early on. And then Munguia raging back, but Canelo being the savvy vet that he is, hanging on and being competitive and losing rounds here and there, but still winning the fight. That's probably most likely what's going to happen. But I could also see Munguia going out there and being the best version of himself, a version that we've never seen, and that Canelo gets old overnight. And Munguia comes out there and puts it on him and puts it on him and puts it on him. I don't necessarily see Munguia stopping him, but I could see Munguia routing Canelo. I really can. He's big.
Really?
I've had this funny feeling for a couple of weeks. I've said that a few times. He's big. He's strong. He does a lot of things that have given Canelo trouble in the past. But at the end of the day, I keep thinking, I'm like, well, the best version of Canelo beats the best version that I've seen of Munguia. But I've never seen the best version of Munguia, I don't think. And I don't know what version of Canelo we're getting. So that's what gives me all these question marks about this fight and why it's so intriguing, because it is an intriguing matchup.
Okay, but why are we I was talking to my dad, and he kind of said the same thing about Canelo. Like, why are we kind of sleeping on Canelo? Because he looked damn good against Charlo.
It's not about sleeping on Canelo. I think it's about recognizing that Jaime Munguia is a damn good fighter.
Yeah, but do you think he really has enough? Do you think he's going to pump that jab enough? Do you think he's going to get out of the way? Like, his defense is very underrated. He only gets hit with 30% power shots. But the thing about Munguia is he gets hit flush. That's why fans remember him getting hit flush. He gets hit right on the button. It might be 30%, but those 30% are landing right on his chin. Like, what I saw in the Canelo and Charlo fight, I saw was like a re-energized Canelo. I think he was healthy for the first time, didn't have any hand issues, didn't have any nicks or bruises as far as we know. He only threw 32 punches around against Charlo because he didn't have to throw anymore because Charlo threw even less. He landed 40% of his power.
He didn't have a willing partner.
But he landed 40% of his power. His jab was really good, and he limited Charlo to just 18%. That's a pretty damn good Canelo Alvarez. So I understand what you're saying. Like, it's very easy to ask that question because my mind goes there too, because Canelo didn't stop Charlo. He did knock him down.
Dan, what weight is Jermell Charlo?
I get that. I mean, he's coming up for 154.
No, but you get that. But do you get that? I mean, Munguia is a big 68-pounder. Jermell was a 54-pounder.
Right. Yeah, I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying. I'm just putting
John Ryder super small for 68.
I'm putting out this thought exercise about Canelo because I feel like that's one of the talking points with Canelo too. It's will he get old overnight? And that's the type of questions you have to ask because he's been fighting forever, and people are still can't get over that B-ball loss, and they see him not knocking guys out late. I just brought up those numbers late. Those are all fights from years ago. The Kovalev fight was almost 5 years ago. Calum Smith fight was 4 years ago. Caleb Plant fight was 3 years ago.
I can't believe Kovalev was 5 years ago. That's crazy.
Scary. Absolutely scary. Time is flying. But he's not stopping these guys late. Like, he should have got John Ryder out of there. I know he's very tough. But old Canelo, 2019 Canelo, would have got John Ryder out of there.
He would have got Jermell Charlo out of there.
I agree. So that's just to come
he
full circle.
He probably would have got Golovkin, the 165-year-old version of Golovkin out of there too.
I agree. So yeah, you're full circle. Yeah, you are right to ask that question. Munguia is not Charlo. I think Munguia will take more risks in this fight. Big question for Munguia is, yeah, he throws 65 to 70 punches around. We've seen this numerous times in boxing, not just with guys like Canelo. We've seen a guy come into a fight with these gaudy punch stats, you know, throw 60, 70, 80 punches around. But the minute they get tagged by a counterpuncher of the likes of Canelo Alvarez, they reduce that number. They go down to 40. They start fighting at the pace that Canelo wants. And Canelo wants to fight at 30 to 35. So that's a big, you know, inside boxing right there is, can Canelo slow down the pace? Can he bring it down to 35 to 40 punches? Can he grown man Munguia? Can he show, hey, this is the big stage. This is the first fight on the big stage for you, Jaime, but this is like the 20th big stage fight for me. I can take away all your dangerous capabilities, slow this fight down and counter you all day, maybe even stop you late.
The issue I see with Munguia, as from someone who's been in the ring with elite world-class counterpunchers, is, and that's what Canelo is. Canelo is an elite counterpuncher. Munguia has never seen anyone the likes of him.
Right.
You know, Munguia's best wins are Liam Smith, which is in hindsight because he's looked phenomenal in recent years. Not a counterpuncher. Very, very good boxer. Very, very tough. Good puncher. I'm trying to look at Gabe Rosado. I mean, at the time he fought him, the guy already had 13 losses. Wait,
you talking about Munguia's last five?
I'm just going through Munguia's.
Yeah, I have him down.
General,
have him down.
In terms of counterpunchers that he's fought, he really hasn't fought any. I mean, Jimmy Kelly's not
Derevchenko,
a counterpuncher,
right?
Derevchenko's not a counterpuncher either.
I'm just saying his best win, but I know what you're saying.
Oh yeah, yeah. His best win is Sergey Derevchenko, then Liam Smith, and then his best performance is probably John Ryder, right?
Right.
None of those guys are counterpunchers. Derevchenko's in your face. He throws punches all night long. We just saw him a few nights ago, and he had a war with Vaughn Alexander, like, because he's not a counterpuncher. He has to fight you, so he fights, which made for a great fight, obviously fight of the year. John Ryder, scrappy as all hell, savvy, tough, short, gets inside, fights, not a counterpuncher. Gabe Rosado, scrappy, tough, survivor, whatever. Trying to think who else. And like I said, Liam Smith, not a counterpuncher. So what happens, to your point, Dan, what happens with that punch output and volume punching when you got a guy who's zapping you with hard, meaningful counterpunches that you're not seeing? Like I said, I've been there. I've been in the ring with those kind of guys. They're scary because you don't see the punch. And next thing you know, you're rocked or you're hurt. You got hit with a punch you didn't see. And then you everything stays a little closer to home after that. Your hands stay closer to your face. Your elbow stays more tucked into your body. So it's really going to depend on how Munguia reacts to those initial big, clean counter shots that Canelo inevitably is going to land.
Yeah, when's he going to land them, though? That's the thing. Canelo,
I say right away.
Really?
Maybe. Right away.
He takes a little bit to warm up. We've seen some.
Second round, he's cracking him with right hands, I'm telling you.
Or he starts throwing, like what he did with Charlo, when Charlo was kind of just sitting on the ropes and not throwing. He was, like, hitting him on the arms. He was really winding up against Charlo. That's kind of what Canelo has to do now. He's not fighting. He's never been a fighter that fought all 3 minutes of every round. That was always the knock on him coming up. The tide changed a little bit in that second Golovkin fight where he stood in the center of the ring and he fought for 3 minutes. But even as he's getting older and he's got a lot of mileage and he's throwing 32 punches around, 35 punches around, he's making those punches count. So he's not going to throw everything with the high velocity. He's going to mix in a changeup.
He tried that against Bivol. It didn't work.
Right. I still can't get that out of my mind. And he still wants to fight the Bivol Beterbiev winner, he says.
Stop.
Which is kind of crazy. Yeah, I think it's going to be an exciting fight. I do think people are sleeping on it. They can't get that stench of not fighting Benavidez out, but forget about it. Let's all settle in. You know you're going to be watching. You know you're going to be trying to either root for Canelo or root for him to lose. He's still Canelo Alvarez. He's, to me, the face of boxing still. And he's fighting a live body. He's fighting a live Mexican body.
And he's
for the
young.
First time since 2017. Very young. He's in his prime. He's 27 years old. He's got a bigger reach, got a bigger wingspan than Canelo Alvarez. So there are some intriguing storylines to this fight. Canelo gets a nice emphatic win, then he pumps his chest out there. Maybe we get the Benavidez fight in September. I'm not going to get my hopes up, but you never know with Canelo Alvarez as he ends this career, and you never know with the type of money that's being thrown out in the sport right now with the Saudis and all that. I think it's going to be a fun fight. I think it's going to be a fun night. I think it's going to be a big-time celebration of Mexican boxing. Two Mexicans going at it. Canelo hasn't fought a Mexican since 2017 when he fought Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. So I expect all the fun, pomp, and circumstance that comes along with Mexican boxing, which is my favorite type of boxing. Like, that MGM Grand Lobby Thursday, Friday night is going to be lit, my friend.
Do you see the smile?
Yeah, you just perked up.
This is the biggest smile we're going to get on me on this air. Dude, I love Mexican fans. I love Mexican people. I love what they bring to the sport. They're classy as all hell. We got both sides are going to be there. I am so excited for Las Vegas this week. We are going to be live, boots on the ground. I'm very happy.
Let's give you a little rundown of what we're going to do. I'll be out there Wednesday. Chris, you're getting in Thursday?
No, Wednesday night.
Getting in Wednesday night. I'll be out there Wednesday morning. I'm going to grab all sorts of content with your favorite fighters, Canelo, all that fun stuff that we do every single fight week. You can catch it on PPV.com, social media, and Inside Boxing Live. Wednesday nights, we'll be hanging out. Thursday, press conference. Thursday, workout. Me and you were getting a workout in. I did work out in the gym at the Caribe Royale.
Your shoulders look a little big right now. You look a little swole.
That's right. Look at that. And then on Thursday, we're going out to Barry's Steakhouse.
Yes.
We will document that too. They took great care of us last time.
Amazing.
Thursday, I think we're going to go live. We're going to go live Thursday and Friday. I think people like that when we went live inside the Barclays Center. We got great feedback. I felt like I want to bring the fans into the where we're at.
Right.
A lot of times. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. You're getting on a good rant there.
Yeah, I was going to say a lot of times the fans they don't get to see inside the media center. They don't get to see what's going on inside. They don't get that big fight feel of a fight week and what goes on Thursday. So we're going to go live Thursday. We'll grab some guests and then we're going to go live again Friday from the media center right after the weigh-in, right after they get off the scales. We'll have guests. We'll have a good old time, and then Saturday night on PPV.com, order the fight if you're not going, and we'll have the live chat lit, and we'll have a great time. So it's going to be an awesome fight week. Canelo Alvarez fight week is here, and I'm going to enjoy them because you never know how many are left for Canelo.
Yeah, no, I think we are winding down for sure, and it could end at any time. But for right now, I mean, boxing is thriving. And
well, you think it could end on Saturday.
I do. I could. But regardless, we are going to bring you guys, our viewers, the fans, into wherever we are. I mean, that's what we do, right? I mean, we are sharing our experiences for you guys, so you guys can see what it's all like behind.
We'll shut it off after Barry's, though, because we might get into some mischief. I mean, we don't have to show everyone everything. Chris is not saying anything to that. Order the pay-per-view early. Between now and Thursday at midnight, and you automatically enter a sweepstakes to win a Canelo Alvarez signed glove. We're giving away 10 pay-per-views as well. Keep it locked, as always.
That's keep your such
hands
a wild
up. PPV.com is the coolest partners ever.
Amazing. Amazing.
They're amazing to work with.
And, wait, let me tell a quick story about PPV.com and why I knew that it was the only streaming service you should ever use for pay-per-view. I'm watching it on my couch one day. This is, I don't know which fight this was. It might have been Canelo. No. I don't know. But anyway, regardless, I'm watching this stream and I'm talking to Paulie Malignaggi and my friend George Jakovic, and we're talking about the fights. And then I get a text like, "Hey man, did your stream go out? This pay-per-view is all effed up." And I go, no, mine's fine. Mine's clear as hell. I can hear it great. Like, yeah, no. And they're both saying theirs are both messed up. I'm like, yeah, well, I'm on PPV.com. I have no problem with my stream. It's very, very strong. You guys are having an issue. Not over here. You made a mistake. So well, now, ever since that day, I have been a proponent, even before we started hooking up with them, and now obviously working together. So it's always good to work with people that you actually appreciate and use their product.
Beautiful story. Moral of the story, Chris Algieri has the strongest stream between him and Paulie Malignaggi. I mean, that doesn't surprise me at all. You're a picture of health.
I'm also a little bit younger than him, so.
Paulie needs to get in the gym a little bit. You could tell him I said that.
We run. Paulie can still run, man. He's in better shape than you would think.
I saw him post something today about McGregor. I was like, damn it, bro. Let that go.
Well, I think McGregor posted something about him.
Oh, okay.
And he might have been responding. Right. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes it okay. Don't stop with the McGregor stuff. If McGregor comes at you, you got to punch back. Paulie is always going to punch back.
Yes, yes.
That's the thing about Paulie. Me and him had beef.
Sure, he's a counter-fighter talker.
Me and him had our own beefs.
A little spat.
Little spats here and there. We buried the hatchet last year.
That's great. He's a good dude. Yeah. That's good. So are you, so it makes sense.
He's a boxing guy. All right, everyone, enjoy.
Fights honestly to stick together.
Yes, let's enjoy the fight week. We'll see you out in Las Vegas. Be sure to lock in for everything that we do. Protect yourselves at all times. Keep your hands up at all times. See you in Vegas. We're out.